tape.
Looking down at the tape recorder, and I'm not quite sure. I know there's a red end on it here, and I'm not quite sure why I left off, but I think what I was talking about was when we were arriving in Saigon. As I was saying, when we first arrived in Saigon and I walked off the airplane, why, I had several first impressions that I'd been reading about, and one of them, of course, being the heat. It is quite oppressive here, very hot and humid, and it just kind of beats you down. The second you hop off the plane, you notice it, and it's been with us ever since. It's, I guess we'll get used to it as time goes on, but it is very unpleasant, and there's not much escape from it since air conditioning is few and far between around here. We loaded onto a bus and went across Tansanuda Air Base, which is where we came in, and that's the main port into the city itself, into the country. And we had to go through customs, that sort of thing, and declare, no, I don't have any guns, and we had to change our money into what they call MPC, which is military pay certificates or something like that. This takes place of money here, since there's a big black market on American dollars. Then we went over and caught another bus that took us from Tansanuda, which is right in Saigon, around the edge of the city, brought us up here to Ben Hoa. The trip up here was very interesting. First of all, the trip to Saigon itself, they have to go right through the city to get up to Ben Hoa, which is up north of the town. And it's very typical of what you might picture of a Southeast Asia city. Extremely overcrowded. It was about 5 o'clock anyway, and I had never seen so many people, and especially so many bicycles and motorbikes in my whole life. I mean, the roads were just jammed with them, and I still haven't figured out how a bus got through them without hitting one. The traffic was just unbelievable, and nobody gives way to anybody. It reminded me of Paris, where it's just kind of a real thrill to take a ride through town every time. Anyway, after we got out of town, then we passed through some of the new building that's going along with the docks, and I suppose you've heard about how much they're swiping. They've had a lot of trouble pilfering all of our goods coming in country, and they're trying to get away from it by building big warehouses. And the building that's going on over here is just unbelievable. I mean, it staggers imagination, and if you want to know where your taxpayers' dollars are going, why, just take a drive along from Saigon out here to Ben Hoa. For instance, there's a place called Long Bend, which is just a few miles down the road from here, that's the top army supply depot in the country. It's the largest. And I've never seen anything like it anywhere. It's just acres and acres and acres, in fact, miles of wide open storage area of trucks, tanks, bombs, jeeps and half trucks, and you name it. It's artillery, howitzers. It's just unbelievable. It's a huge armed camp. And it's already been hit by the VC several times, but it's so big I don't think they could blow it up in 100 years. It was quite interesting, and the guy riding along beside me was an Army Ranger, and he was going to give me a guided tour as we went along. It's one of the only big highways in the country. It's a big four-lane between Ben Hoa and town. And at times, there's real stark contrast in the architecture. You either have real nice new modern buildings, mostly built by us in the France, or you've got the slums, and they are the slummiest slums you've ever seen. I mean, they're just little grass huts, and they sometimes don't even have walls or anything. They just kind of a grass roof, and that's it. And that's home to these people, the Vietnamese. We got up here about an hour and a half later, I guess, into Ben Hoa, and it was just about supper time, so we didn't have time to do any in-processing or anything. And ever since I've been here at Ben Hoa, I've been running into just everybody you can believe. It's really old home week up here. I couldn't begin to name you all the guys that I've seen that I've known, either from my classmates or other guys from the academy or pilot training, just all over the place, you know, good old Air Force. Just everybody's around here. It's mainly because there are five squadrons of F-100s, and a lot of my ex-students and a lot of guys from my class have gone in the 100s, and of course a lot of our old buddies that just came from Luger out here too. So we've been reminiscing and talking about old times, and generally not doing much else but just sitting around and talking. Today, we went over and got briefed by none other than a Lieutenant Colonel Jones, and he sort of gave us the hot poop on what we're going to be doing as facts in general in Vietnam, and gave us a little bit of what we should expect. And this guy is the one who sets up the assignments. He asked us what our preference was and what we would like, and told us what was available, and that he'd try and work us in, and he did real fine. He managed to give us all pretty much what we were interested in. I was particularly interested in getting up to Tu Cor, which is north of here. It's quite a bit of it is mountainous terrain. And my home station, I did get this, by the way. I am going to Tu Cor, and I'm not sure what my APO will be yet, so I'll give you an APO number to mail to just as soon as I can. But I'll be stationed, my home station, in other words, where my records will be, is up in that triangle, which is kind of a little town in a smaller type Air Force base up the road here. Interestingly enough, they do have some AC-47s up there, so Wayne and I may end up together after all. And also, might point out that Neil Grant, my old boss from Reese, is up in that corps as a pack, and also George Buckner is up there, so I'm hoping to see some of the guys. I'm not sure just where I'll be working in this particular area, but I have asked to work with the Special Forces, the Army Special Forces, and I think that they're going to try and work me into that capacity, and I'll let you know more about that later, since right now it's kind of up in the air. But as of now, I am supposed to be going to 2 Corps. This is the general area north of Ben Hur, north of Saigon, for the next, I don't know how many miles, but it's a quite large area. More about that later. So tomorrow we're going to take a boat down to Bintui. This is down in the Delta region, and this is the FAC in-country checkout area. Tom Schutz down there in the Marine Safety Program, so I'm hoping to see him. And we'll be spending about anywhere from 4 days to a week down there getting checked out locally in the O1E and being given our local intelligence briefings about where the Army's located and what kind of operations we have going in certain areas and this sort of thing. A lot of administrative stuff, which is quite necessary to us doing our job right. So we're kind of anxious to get down and get going since we're finally in the theater and we're hoping to do something constructive. Speaking of being in the theater, last night I walked into the... We have one large dorm where we take showers and set up for showers. And I no more walk into the shower and we start getting these real loud explosions. I thought, oh, this is great. We're on the base one day and we're already under a mortar attack. And it turned out to be Army 105mm howitzers, which are quite large guns, and they were trying to scare off a few VC that had been spotted about 5 miles off the edge of the base, and this is quite common around here. Everybody just kind of takes it nonchalantly, and they do this almost every night, just as a matter of practice and harassing the enemy, is to shoot a few of these big shells, just lob them out in the jungle, and I guess it scares old Charlie pretty bad. It scared me too. None of us, being new here, were quite sure what was happening for a while. And every so often, they'd start going off. About midnight, I woke up, and they shot off about 10 rounds, and you get used to it after a while, but it's pretty weird at first. It's, like I said, it's a weird war here. We sit here eating steaks in the club and having a drink and talking, generally living, halfway nice. These barracks aren't too fancy, but it sure beats living out there in the jungle. And then you turn around the next day and you're out there shooting them up. And you're out there in the jungle, maybe, and so it's kind of weird. Anyway, we're heading down to Bintui, and then we'll be coming back through Ben Hur here, which is the, this is the control headquarters for all the FACs in Southeast Asia, comes from here at Ben Hur in the 504th Tech Control Group. They are our leaders, I guess you'd say, the big boss around here, and so we come back through here then and get our final briefings, take care of our final administrative paperwork as far as orders, and then we'll be heading to our local areas, which will be within the next week and a half. So then we'll be getting going in earnest in our work. I saw Don Nelson, by the way, Joe, here, and Jim Klinke. And Jim is getting out of the service. He is trying to get in an operation over here, and I don't know too much about it yet, so maybe I'll tell you something later. Maybe you'll hear something from around the grapevine there, from Barb or somebody. Anyway, he's got something going over here. And let's see, I'm starting to think of some other things to put on here. Oh, one thing I was going to tell you about, it was kind of interesting. When we went to get Karen, she was staying with some friends in Sacramento, and these friends were, he's a real good friend of Gene's. He worked at the hospital for a while, and he's on another project somewhere now, but he also has some interest in a company out of Nevada, which is making some new stuff. It's kind of a, I don't know how to describe it, except it's kind of a rock, a broken up crushed rock, or asphalt or something like that, kind of a material, a little bug. And it's highly absorbent for moisture absorbent material, very porous. And this guy found out from Gene that I was coming over, and so he gave me several bags of it, wanted me to test it out in the theater here under field conditions, and then writing back and telling him how it's worked, because this company is trying to get a contract from the government, a federal contract, to sell it to the Army to use, like, you stuff it in your boots at night and in your clothes bags and stuff to cut down on mildew. So I'm hoping it'll work, because it'll be a good deal for me if it does, and also it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens to this stuff if it really does go over big. And of course it'll be pretty much a direct result of what guys like myself are writing back as to whether it works or not. So it should be interesting. Well, I've just finished running over this part of the tape, listening back to it. Since I've run out of things to say, I thought I'd just play it back and see what it sounded like. And I noticed there was quite a bit of background noise coming from this construction next door and also airplanes going over. I hope it doesn't cut into the tape too much. And I also noticed I did quite a bit of studying around now and then, so I'll have to scratch that one off to experience on this taping bit. It is quite handy, though, and I think it's sure going to beat sending letters to everyone. It sure is easy to lay here in bed with this mic and tell them about what I'm doing here, and I hope that you'll find it interesting. I'm going to cut the tape off for now, and then when I get down to Bentuy, I'll add some more to it before I send it so I can complete the whole tape. So I'll see you again in Bentuy. Or should I say, you'll hear me again in Bentuy. Hi, well, I'm down in Canton now, and I'm going to add some more to this tape, see if I can't get it finished up and in the mail. One thing I wanted to get back on and tell you a little war story about when we were back in the jungle, and I forgot to mention before, and I thought it was kind of funny. The instructors had told us about the big rats that are always harassing the troops out in the jungle, and so we were kind of watching out for them, and the night when we were out escaping the Negritos, why, after we finished eating our canned goods, which had given us our sea rations, why, we threw our cans away, and the rats during the night, of course, smelled the food in the cans and got near the cans. And I had saved one chocolate cookie to eat for breakfast in the morning. And I had packed it in my flak vest, which is a sort of a vest that we wear that carries all our goods in it for survival. And I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning and heard this rat trying to get into my flak vest, and just scared the heck out of me. And it was kind of a bright moonlight night anyway. And I could see this big old rat. And, well, of course, when I woke up, it scared him and he went running off. Well, for about the next hour or so, the rat and I had a running battle as to who was going to eat my cookie in the morning. And I had my canteen and everything buried on top of the jacket to keep him away from it. He finally gave up and ran off, I guess, because I never heard him anymore. And another thing I was going to tell you was about the Negritos, and they're fascinated with cigarettes. Every one of them smokes. They love to smoke. And even the little kids, by the time a kid's old enough to walk, he's learning how to smoke cigarettes, too. And the little kids come around and beg cigarettes from you. And in fact, I've noticed that throughout the area down here, everybody likes to smoke. Since I quit taping the other day, we've had several things happen. One thing, the very next evening after, just before we left Benoit, Eric Vettergren, who was a classmate of Wayne Ice Academy, crashed in a C-47 right off the end of the runway. Unfortunately, they all got out before it caught on fire, and Eric came out with a broken arm, which he felt was pretty lucky. It was kind of strange that I had just been talking to him that very afternoon. He'd been telling me about the AC-47. Well, let's see, the next day then, we caught a bus down, which was Friday. We caught a bus back down to Tansanute Air Force Base, and we stayed there for the evening, and then caught a plane from there Saturday morning on down here to Canto. It's kind of hard to get hops around here, but they set this one up for us. Well, again, I was amazed at all the traffic and all the material along the road down to Saigon. It's just unbelievable how many trucks and things they have out there and how much traffic there is on those highways. You can sure tell there's a war on. And in Saigon, there's the usual stark contrast. The downtown was very nice. We took a taxi downtown and looked around a little bit, and it's very modern, and you can certainly see the French influence. Away from town, though, you just get a few blocks, and you're in some of the most utter poverty that I have ever seen. It's just absolutely filthy, and the slums are incredible. There's men, women, and children standing around on the side of the street urinating, and it's just, you can't believe the way they live, just like a bunch of pack rats. Really filthy. And out of Tansanute, it's not a heck of a lot better. The base is very dirty and crowded, just like Benoit, and none of us were too impressed, although they did have a very nice officers club there and an excellent T-bone for $2, so that made it a little more livable. We came down in a C-123 down here to Canto and got in early this morning, and the rest of the day we've been getting a briefing on the school that we're going to get in the next 4 or 5 days here, and also we're giving a tour of the town of Canto, and the base itself is called Bentuy, but it's near the town of Canto, and so a lot of people refer to this area and the base even as Canto also. There's an army complex here in addition to the Air Force, and the Navy is also now building a complex because this is right on the Mekong River, and they can bring some fairly large ships right up the river, and they're offloading a lot of material in this area. The town of Canto is much cleaner and nicer, although it has some slummy areas too. I mean, what we would consider slum areas. But downtown is really not too bad. As a matter of fact, we were down there this afternoon and ate in a restaurant down there. My first taste of Vietnamese food, and I must say it was very good. I had lobster thermidor, which was as good as any I've ever eaten. It was excellent. And I had some Chinese yellow soup, and it contained rice and a lot of other things. And this was my first experiment with chopsticks. And I must say, it's a little difficult at first, but I think I've got the hang of it now. and also some of their good old local Vietnamese beer, which is very good also. Tonight we're going over to the club for a promotion party, and also I saw Tom Shep this afternoon. I'm going to meet him over there tonight. Well, good to see old Tom again. He looks about the same, and he's enjoying his stay comparatively here, since this is one of the nicer bases and nicer areas in Vietnam, surprisingly enough. The quarters are nice here. They have a nice, clean club, good food. And I might mention that the club officer is the same one who helped us out and was one of the club that helped out the dining hall when we were cadets. So he's seeing all his old cadet buddies come through again, which is kind of strange. What's kind of weird around here, we're all expecting to be mortared most any time, which may sound a little funny or fatalistic, but they say that the local Viet Cong commander here has sworn that he would mortar this base at least once a month. Well, he's done it through December, January, and February, and since this is the last week in March, we expect sometime during the week to be hit. And everybody kind of makes fun of it, although it's really not much of a laughing matter, but they generally hit the flight line, and they're pretty accurate with their mortars, and they, in fact, the last time they hit, they knocked out every O-1 on the base for a couple days. But we have big sand-type shelters, sandbag shelters, right near the huts here, which we can get in just a matter of seconds. And so it's really not as hairy as it may sound. So we're all expecting to pile out of the dorm one of these nights, all scared. It's just that kind of war, it seems. We win in the daytime, and they win at night. We're still losing the battle at night because of the type of war that they fight. And so we don't venture off base at all at night, of course. And it seems like, especially down here in the Mekong Delta, why the VC just do whatever they please at night. However, the base itself is relatively secure. Well, it appears like my tape is just about to run out, and since I want to leave a little bit on the end of it here so that if Joe and the kids have a chance to put something on it, why they can put on it before it's sent around to the rest of the family. So I'll sign off for now, and I'll be sending some more in the near future. I hope you enjoy the tape, and you'll be hearing some more from me before too long. So long. Bye-bye, everybody.